PromoHomo.tv begins right now. Simulcast on Blog Talk Radio and Facebook Live, which basically means this is a worldwide television show that you can watch from any internet-connected device and you can call in. How cool is that? This show is made possible with the generous support of Desert AIDS Project, Lulu California Bistro, 849 Restaurant and Lounge, and we're a proud media sponsor of the LGBT Community Center of the Desert, Palm Springs Pride, and numerous other organizations and causes. For more about our sponsors and those we support, visit promohomo.tv. And now, on with the snow, show.
So here we are, the simulcast has begun, but before I bring Mike and I back on camera, I just have a few other things to do. First of all, I want to dedicate this show to the memory of my brother, Felix Snow, who died early this morning. It was not sudden, we were expecting it, but he is a beautiful soul. I put this tribute up on Facebook, and what I wrote with it is, remembering Felix Snow with love. To celebrate his life, follow his profile at Felix Snow and follow the Give It Up for Felix Facebook page. Felix touched deeply the lives of countless people and will live on in our hearts forever. No one could be more loved. He changed the world. He inspired everyone he met. Isn't that what one is supposed to do with their life? He did. So, Felix, this is dedicated to you, and your life force will live on forever in the lives of those that you have touched. Joining me in the studio today is Mike Thompson. He's the executive director of the LGBT Community Center of the Desert. And we've got their website is the centerps.org. And tonight is a mixer. So while they're seeing the information about the mixer, Mike, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going to be happening at the mixer?
Yes. On the fourth Wednesday of every month, the center hosts our monthly center social, and it's purely a way for people to connect with others in the community. There's no charge. There's no program. It's simply an opportunity for people to connect.
We're going to back up for a moment because I think that our broadcast was delayed on video. So I just want to review in case you missed it that my guest is Mike Thompson, the executive director of the LGBT Community Center of the Desert. Their website is thecenterps.org, and they're having a center social tonight. They have one every month. By the way, this is May 25th, 2016. And that's what's happening here. All right, so now I'm going to turn the camera around. And Sally says that she lost us. I do know that you lost us, but I think we're back now. So here we go. All righty. We're live and on the air. All right, Mike Thompson.
Hey.
It's more important that they see you than me. But I'm gonna look back at our viewers. Also, oh, we do have someone who's already called in. That's fantastic.
Okay.
You know, I think we should just go and say hello to them. Whoever's called in, stay with us. This is our call-in number: 347-215-8866. That's 347-215-8866. We have one caller in the queue. That was perfect television. That was brilliant.
That's why you need a Vanna White.
Thank you. Okay, so, Mike, before we begin, we have begun. So I'm really impressed by the center's vision and mission of creating vibrant community. It's extraordinary how that has happened. Tell me, when you first heard about the center, how you became involved, and how this creating vibrant community theme came about. And while he's talking, if you can let us know through comments below whether or not you hear both of us well, that would be great. Take it away.
Yeah, sure. My history in the LGBT movement really began on the advocacy side. I worked with a couple of statewide organizations. I used to work for GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. And then when I left there and did some consulting work for a while, including work with Centerlink, which is the network of LGBT community centers, I really found that my heart is working in the service component of our movement, and really began to think about, I think what it is that we all want most is connection, and that when we create opportunities for one to connect with another, then that's the very beginning of creating community. And then as you weave these individual connection points together, vibrant community is just a natural result, because we're valuing each other. We're connecting with each other around the things that we have in common. We're advocacy. We're pressing against something, you know, against a norm, against a culture, against a set of legislation. But in the community center work, we're really talking about weaving together community. And I'm so inspired by that idea, and love to find ways in the work we do at the LGBT Community Center of the Desert, looking for ways to make that happen, which is why we even have a social like we do tonight every month. It's just to get people together.
Well, I love it. Now, the editorial theme of my show is connecting the circuitry of humanity. So that ties in so much with what all of us are doing. I'm going to go ahead and go to the phones and see who's called in, the very first caller. You are on the air with Nicholas and Mike in the 323 area code. How's it going?
Hello, Mike. Hello, Nicholas. It's Paul Jasek in Hollywood.
Paul, how are you?
I'm good, Nicholas.
Thank you.
I would give a quick call.
Oh, I'm so glad that you did call. Paul, what would you like to say about the progress that we've made in the LGBT civil rights movement?
Well, you know, it is so heartening, and I need to get down to the desert so I can spend some time with all y'all, that this idea of community, you know, I'm of a certain age when it was much more covert and you could only find each other in bars and things like that. I think this is a wonderful idea, and I love that it is connecting people.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, Paul, you're pretty well known in what you do, but for those who don't, Paul Jasek is a stand-up comic. Paul, do you have an official website?
You can find me on Facebook. I'm all over Facebook most of the time. I'm a co-host of the O Mary Show, which is a internet TV show.
Fantastic, Paul. Well, you know I love you, and I appreciate that you called in today, and I hope that you have a wonderful day.
Well, I wanted
Thanks,
to give
Paul.
my a quick squeeze, and thank you for all you do.
My pleasure, darling. Talk to you soon.
Indeed.
So Paul's calling from L.A. If you want to give a shout-out and let us know where you're watching from, that would be great. And we haven't had any feedback on audio. This is the very first broadcast, so we're wanting to check out our audio as well. So one of the things that I asked you to do in preparation for today was to watch this video I did on promohomo.tv at DragCon, RuPaul's DragCon. If you go to promohomo.tv, you can see a video with a 12-year-old young boy named Julian who attended DragCon with his mother. Hey, hello, John Hedges, Sally Taylor, Daniel Victor Rodriguez. Levy is watching from San Diego. Much appreciated. At any rate, I asked Mike to watch this video. Lots of other people have watched the video. The reason that I wanted to bring it up is because when I was 12 years old, a video like that could not have been made. Mm-mm. It would not have been made. Mm-mm. A 12-year-old couldn't even have been speaking that language, and his mom would not have been with him celebrating it.
Right.
And I was wondering what you would like to say and comment to just the fact that an interview like that is happening.
Yeah, well, I think it's spectacular, and I admire Julian, I mean, the first word that comes up for me is courageous, because I'm imposing my same 12-year-old experience on Julian, who seemed so perfectly comfortable in his skin when he said, the question was, what brought you here? And he said, a love for all things drag and sparkly, right? Mm-hmm. I thought, that is so natural for him to say.
Oh, and then he vamped a pose, right, and like blinked his eyes. Right. It was wonderful.
Right. And so while I read that as courageous, because I'm looking through that as my own 12-year-old self, but for Julian, it was so natural. It was so authentic. And I thought, what a beautiful time that we live in, where 12-year-olds like Julian can celebrate his own love of all things drag and sparkly and be in an environment at DragCon that celebrates it, to be with a parent that is encouraging his expression. And I just thought, how far we've come, where Paul just even said, you know, we used to have to congregate in the dark and in bars, right? But Julian's growing up in a culture where he can be out, you know, he's a boy that loves drag and is out and proud in his celebration of all things drag and sparkly. And how fantastic is that? How more fully expressive can he be in his own creativity when that is embraced so young?
A celebration of all things drag and sparkly. Just a reminder, if you're watching live, anytime I'm live, this is the number to call. This is being simulcast on Blog Talk Radio, which is how come I have a Facebook Live feed that allows me to take and view callers, which may or may not be a part of every show. But the nice thing is these videos live in perpetuity. When you were a kid, were you bullied? Were you in a supportive family? Tell me a little bit about what it was like for you to be.
Yeah, well, I grew up in a town called Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And, you know, it sounds actually much smaller than it is, but it's very Oklahoma, very conservative Christian culture. You know, I was the oldest of three boys. I was adopted, my two younger brothers not. And so I always had this awareness of being different. And so I learned how to... I was a bit of a chameleon. I felt like I could just adapt to whatever circumstance in order to be somewhat accepted and yet never really felt a part of. And I think I knew it, although I couldn't find the words to pinpoint to say I was gay. And I think those around me knew it. I was bullied in junior high and high school, queer, fag, all of those terms were directed at me. And it was confusing to me because, you know, the peers that bullied me were also the ones that, you know, I was a student council kid. You know, that was my outlet. That was my safe place. So these peers that bullied me were also the ones that, you know, put me in this place of kind of serving our student body. So it was this, I felt stuck in the middle, not knowing where was safe. And I can just remember, in eighth grade, I was president of our student council. And every time a new kid came to school, the counselors would say, hey, we've got this new boy. Would you walk him around? I probably had a crush on every single new boy that came to town. And one of them, his name was Kurt. We had to share a locker because we ran out of lockers. And I remember every time between classes when we had to get into this little locker to get our books, anytime his arm would brush mine, I just lit up. And not in a sexual way, but in a way that is like, wow, this is different. And so I wish that I grew up in a culture like Julian where I could have explored that and, you know, could date the way that young kids date today rather than just continuing to hide. And I think part of my own journey, my own maturation, is learning how not to hide and how to be authentic in every moment, how to be authentic in every expression. And then in doing that, I find that my connections are more authentic and more real. And so I think life work is learning how to be authentic so my connections can be.
Oh, completely. Authenticity. That's a word that I use a lot. If you have any comments out there as you're watching, feel free to post below the video. And once again, this is our call-in number, 347-215-8866. You know, when we're we're talking about youth, it's a great tie-in to the recent Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast. I'm a media sponsor of that event and Palm Springs Pride. Of all the events I go to in our community and have gone to for decades, there is none that are more moving for me than that event.
Agreed.
And I just can cry even just thinking about it. It is such an evidence of how the world is new for a lot of youth, but how so many youth are still trapped in families and communities in life-threatening situations, some even losing their lives. And the convergence of where we've come from, but yet how far we have to go, comes together in extraordinary ways. And I was wondering if you could comment on that and also how it relates to the work of the center.
Sure. I think what most impressed me, like you, I mean, this is actually my favorite event as well. You know, we had over 700 people in the ballroom at the convention center last week. 243, I think, of those were students. And so I imagine, and while Palm Springs is this wonderful gay mecca, people aspire to live here. You know, there are kids at Palm Springs High School that don't live in liberal families. And, you know, there are kids throughout the Coachella Valley that aren't in progressive, supportive environments. And so for those kids to come into a room of 700 people, to feel celebrated for who they are, for them to feel part of a community. And I think that's why the work of the center is when we create vibrant community, when someone is invited into that, then they feel a part of it immediately. And so the thing that I was wowed by is that these 243 kids had the opportunity to feel a part of something bigger. So that when this young lesbian is at home in her room wondering what life is like outside of her family, she can remember that Harvey Milk breakfast and think, there is a community that I'm a part of that is bigger than what my personal experience is now. And I think in those moments, we create hope. And like, back to Harvey Milk, you got to give them hope. And so if we can create community in a way that inspires people to be hopeful, and then they can imagine what their life could be like, then I think we're doing our job in creating community.
Fantastic. The financial beneficiary of the Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast are the GSAs, which is the Gay Straight Associations for high school kids throughout the Coachella Valley. And if you go to pspride.org, you can link through to more information about the Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast. You know what I find is astounding is that there are kids in the GSAs who go to the GSA secretly. They're not out to their school. They're not even out to their families. And yet some of them make it to the Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast. It's almost like going on a secret mission through enemy lines to get a shot, to get a view of what the new world will be like.
Right, right, right. And I think, you know, if we all had the freedom to explore what we're curious about, I think that allows, again, back to this, you know, authenticity. And I think back of Julian in this video. It's like, you know, what if his mother wasn't as supportive? And what if DragCon didn't exist? Then how would Julian find an expression for all things drag and sparkly, right? And so the more freedom that we can create for people to explore what they're curious about in their own expression, then I think the more full our culture is, the more beautiful it is, the more creativity that we tap into. And again, back to authenticity, because this is at the core of who I am, what I believe, how I work, is the more authentic each of us can be, then the healthier we are as individuals, the healthier we are in relationship, and the healthier our communities are overall.
I love that. I love that. I said similar things in most of the 1990s. I had a public access TV show in LA called Tinseltown's Queer. And that was in the middle of the ACT UP years. Well, actually, it was well into the ACT UP years. Yep. But I would always say on my show, express your life to the people whom you influence, because silence does equal death and action does equal life.
Right. Can I comment real quick?
Please,
just because
right
I, you know, I'm 52, and if I don't grab a thought while I have it,
yeah,
it escapes me. So I love that you said Tinseltown queer,
right,
and now you're promo homo.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just love this, you know, owning of these terms that when I heard as a 12-year-old boy myself, it was so harmful to who I was, homo, queer. And now when although it's taken me some time to kind of live into queer, right? Because that was the thing that I heard these guys say when I walked into a classroom, queer, you know? And so I love that we're embracing these terms now to where they kind of do no harm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus before they were so damaging to me, I allowed them to be, right? And
well, I acknowledge, and I'm sure you do too, that these words can still be used in a hateful context,
yes,
but the more we use them in a celebratory fashion,
yeah,
the more that context is disempowered.
Yes.
The one word that I don't see us reclaiming in a positive way,
yeah,
is fag.
Here.
We have someone at the door. This is live TV, so let's just see what's happening here. On live TV, we have someone at the door. So that's live TV for you. At any rate, this is the phone number. That's the phone number. And I usually have my guests go answer the door during live broadcasts. It's very funny that, generally speaking, no one ever comes to my door.
Get the maintenance guy.
Oh,
he'll
well,
come back.
He's going to come back. See, I always have this fantasy that a maintenance man will knock on my door.
And it happens when you're on live TV.
All right, there's two things that never happen for me. I hardly ever have someone in my apartment. Now I have you. I always have this fantasy that a maintenance man is going to knock on my door. And when he does, I have someone else in my apartment, and I'm occupied on live television.
Well, had it not been live TV, it could have been an interesting moment.
It certainly could have. Do you remember what we were talking about?
Yes, I think the term that we...
The word fag. But there's a retort to that, which I absolutely love, and that's a misfag to you. You know, so there are ways around it.
Yeah.
As we wrap up the show, which isn't, we don't have to do it immediately, but as we wrap it up, in the home stretch, I want to hear from Mike the fabulous news about the new building for the LGBT Community Center of the Desert.
Yeah, and before we do that, I think there's one thing that I kind of want to talk about.
We have plenty of time.
That Julian inspired me. And,
okay.
You know, and I think then you added to it when you posted this picture on Facebook, and me in a suit, and me in a red dress, and me in a leather vest.
Right,
right?
Exactly.
And so I think our job...
You posted that. I shared it.
I did. I owned it.
Let's be clear.
I owned it. Well, and I think, you know, sometimes I like to play with stuff like that because I think the more we challenge ourselves individually in our own comfort zones, then I think we invite people in to do that. You know, I think there's a lot of shaming that happens in our community, you know, just even on apps and online dating, you know, mask for mask and all that kind of terminology, as if someone in our community, while they might not be an ideal match for us, right, I think it also communicates something. So I think we need to kind of stop with some of the shaming. Even, you know, there's a lot of sex shaming that happens, you know, those that choose to go on PrEP and calling them Truvada whores when, you know, I see them as people that are taking responsibility for his own sexual health, right, and being public about that. And so I think we need to be careful as a community how we articulate late around things like drag, around things like leather, things around, you know, one's HIV status, and really think, are we, in our quest for inclusivity in the broader culture, within our own culture, are we being inclusive ourselves? Are we embracing the differences within our own community, inviting people in, or are we just segmenting ourselves off? Those are the masculines, those are the femmes, these are the dykes, those are the drag queens, these are the HIV positive people, these are the people that are true followers. And that disturbs me, because we should be celebrating all the things that make us unique and different. And so I would just kind of want to encourage ourselves that, you know, to maybe stretch the boundaries a little bit and see what we can do in our own individual lives to be more inclusive so that our community can be. So then in that, back to authenticity and connection, right? And so that we can pull off the mask of being only masculine. You know, I'm just as comfortable in a leather vest as I am in a red dress, as I am in a suit, as I am in a polo shirt, you know, but it's taken me some time to get there because I was probably more effeminate as a kid. I've got a 8-year-old baseball picture. The team picture is lined up. I'm on the end, my baseball mitt on my hip and my hip cocked out. And I was like, girl, if they didn't know then. So I avoided anything that felt feminine, right? And so now, you know, give me a red dress and I will twirl with the best of them. But it took me some time to get comfortable with that. And so now I want to create an environment where people can be comfortable with whatever expression they have. Thank you for letting me rant.
Oh, I love that. And you've inspired another rant. But the first thing I want to say is when people tell me they're straight acting, I say, oh, really? Are you more straight acting on your knees or your back?
I don't want to be straight acting. I want to be as gay as I can be, and I want to – can I use foul language here?
Yes, you may.
I want to fuck with what that means.
Exactly.
I want to fuck with what that means.
Mike Pepper says, totally straight here, but love watching and listening and absorbing your strength. Thank you, Mike. By the way, is our audio – our mics – Mike, tell us if our mics are functioning today because he participated in my test last night.
Great.
And I think I resolved the issue. So I think both of us are mic'd well. You know, one of the things I want to talk about, you know, we talk about creating a vibrant community, and we talk about the importance of not to shame, but to celebrate and to be positive and to enhance. And one of the sad things for me is that the use of apps has become so impersonal and objectifying, and frankly, for me, a waste of time. They say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So what I'm focusing on is just showing up in the real world, authentically connecting with other people, and staying away from those apps. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm an HIV-positive person living powerfully with HIV, mm-hmm. And I happen to know, because I'm undetectable on antiretroviral medications, that I'm one of the safest people someone could possibly have sex with.
So if the maintenance man comes back.
If the maintenance man comes back. But there are lots of people out there, especially gay men in the anonymous online dating space or semi-anonymous, who are classifying whether or not they're going to get together based
right.
upon someone's declaration of
right.
their own perceived
right.
HIV status. And right. what happens is if you have someone who's HIV, recently HIV positive, who thinks they are still negative, their viral load is skyrocketing and they're more infectious than ever, especially recently after exposure. And when someone has an HIV test, they learn they're negative, they can reinforce their commitment to staying that way through safer sex or the use of PrEP, which is pre-exposure prophylaxis. It's taking a daily pill to make it basically scientifically impossible for that person to get HIV. Or if you find out you're positive, like I did, you can get on the right medicine regime and live a long and healthy life, which is what I'm doing. But I'm also, according to all my doctors, virtually it's impossible for me to transmit the HIV virus. So one of the safest people that you can go out with is an HIV-positive person who's undetectable
yeah.
and taking good care of their yeah. health.
Yeah. Well, and to your point about objectifying ourselves, which is what oftentimes happens, you know, in these environments where we're not engaging authentically, right? HIV-positive, negative, you know, HIV-positive but undetectable, top, bottom, verse, you know, oral, da-da-da-da-da. So suddenly we've got all these categories that we've placed ourselves in. And so suddenly I've been reduced to my HIV status and my, you know, sexual preferences. Well, I might enjoy something with someone that is very different than what I might enjoy with this person. But if I'm only looking through the lens of do you meet this categorization or not, then suddenly I'm suffocating and I'm not allowing the other person to be fully expressive in his own authenticity. And I think we reduce ourselves down to these categories that are, isn't that what we're trying to get rid of anyway? So I feel like, you know, we're stuck sometimes, you know, in trying to get out from under our own labels.
I agree with you 98%. Okay. But I think that it is important for an individual to know who they are sexually and to be with someone else that they're compatible with. And people tell me, why are you single? Hey, Pinky, we say hello to you, too.
Hey, Pinky.
People say to me, why are you single? And I said, because there are only two tops in California. And
well,
I haven't met one of them
right.
yet.
Well, and okay, agreed. So to the 98% that we agree. But also, you're not just that.
No, that's my point, right? Yeah.
And so I think there are ways that we can explore beyond a single sexual expression that I just hate that if we only reduced ourselves to that, right?
I understand completely.
Yeah.
Pinky is one of the people who's joined in, Pinky Meringue Shimmer, and I want to make this about the people who are watching as well. So Pinky has been an extraordinary participant in a project. I don't know the official name of the project, but I'm going to refer to it as the Broadway Quilt Project. And Pinky and a group of dedicated quilters have gotten together at Desert AIDS Project and put together an amazing quilt that is stitched together with fabric based on costumes from actual Broadway shows. And that quilt is being put on raffle, and you can find out more about it at desertaidsproject.org. And you know what? We have another caller.
Great.
Guess what? We have another caller calling from the 310 area code. Hey, you are on the air with Nicholas and Mike in the 310 area code, 766. Do you hear us? They are not talking back to us. That button on this machine is a Facebook chat, not a phone call. So whoever called in on the 310, I did try to take your call, but you were silent, so I'm not sure why. Do you feel like there's anything that you want to cover that we haven't?
Oh, no, but you asked about the building before.
I want to talk about the building, and I also want to talk about the specific programs at the center and how people can engage with them.
Yeah, so our website is thecenterps.org, and our programming falls into four different categories. Wellness, education, social, and support. And some of our bigger programs underneath that are our mental health clinic, which actually, when we move into our new building, we're proud to be renaming that as the Scott Hines Mental Health Clinic at the center, thanks to a very generous contribution by Kevin Blessing, who's a wonderful supporter of the center. His husband was Scott Hines, and so he's made a wonderful gift in his memory. We also have the community food bank at the center. About 16,000 people receive food support through the community food bank on an annual basis. And we also have a Aging Communities Together program, which is really thinking about how we address issues of isolation in our more senior community. We look at buddying people up to make sure people are checking on one another. We've got a senior caregivers provider network, and as well as a caregivers support group. Because so many people in our community, we find ourselves caring for an aging partner or caring for friends that are single, but how do we support the one who is giving support? And so really proud of that. We've got a lot of classes, you know, art classes, Spanish classes, we've got American Sign Language, yoga, bridge, pinochle. I mean, just any number of
and
things.
And 12-step meetings.
A lot of 12-step meetings at the center. And then we've got a wonderful health and wellness partnership with Eisenhower Medical Center. So we've got Eisenhower physicians that come in twice a month and do presentations, anything like we talked about PrEP. We've got a conversation that Dr. Alex Del Rosario does on A Gay Man's Guide to Sex, every sex act that you could imagine and the health risks associated with it. So really open, honest conversation about our sexual health. And so we're excited to move all these programs into our new building in Palm Springs at 1301 North Palm Canyon in the Uptown Arts District. And we are in construction now, and I expect that we'll be moving sometime this summer, and I couldn't be more thrilled. And it's a great Palm Drive visible location, and it's going to be great for us to expand our not only our programs, but give the community larger meeting space to use as well for whatever the community's needs may be.
Fantastic. Okay. I love it. I've been engaged with the center before it was in its current incarnation, so we love the center. I want to thank you for being the guest on the first ever simulcast. Actually, I did one other test simulcast with Blossom Brown, who is the standout transgender woman from the first season of I Am Kate.
Oh, great.
And she's the woman that was given the nursing school scholarship by Ellen on the following season premiere of Ellen's show.
Right, great.
So Blossom Brown and I tested out this technology, and the last night I did a test as well, and I'm working on the kinks. If you go to Dr. Del Rosario's class, you can learn about other kinks.
Well, Desert Fetish Authority also meets at the center, so
well,
you can discover all sorts of things.
Okay. I have an idea. Why don't you speak to youth around the world, or even adults who are living in countries where their lives are in danger because of their sexual orientation, with a message of experience, strength, and hope?
Yeah. So I would ask you, so what is the one authentic expression that you've not found an outlet for, and then find one safe place where you can express that? Is it with a friend? Is it in a journal? Is it with a neighbor? Is it with another gay person that you may know? But even if it's just in a journal, or even if it's standing in front of a mirror, but I think the more we find ways to express our most authentic selves, and we experience that part of ourselves, then we begin to accept ourselves even more. But I think we owe it to ourselves to find authentic expression, appreciate our own expression, come back and love ourselves in that, and then suddenly we find ourselves expanding in our capacity to live more authentically. But I think the key is a safe place for many of those that aren't in a safe place. And so maybe it's just in the privacy of your own room. Maybe it's in a journal, like I said. But what's the safest place that you can find to expand your capacity for creative, authentic expression, and then look for ways to continue to expand that?
Beautifully stated.
Thank you.
And a common message of my show, actually. Brian Webb says, excellent. John Kelly says, good interview. Appreciate your watching. So I want to let you all know, and Mike know, what's coming up on the show. My goal is to be live Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. The nice thing is, if that ever changes, you'll find out because you get alerted of live broadcasts because you follow me on Facebook, so you won't miss a show. But for consistency purposes, I'm going to work on doing at least a live show Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. You have been my premier guest. Tomorrow, my guests are the writer, director, and two of the actors from a powerful film called Godless. On Friday, we're looking at the upcoming Queen of the Desert contest, benefiting the Desert AIDS Project. And on Monday, I have a wonderful guest. Her name is Allison Analora. She is transgender. She's a member of the local community. And she's coming out with a book probably at the end of the summer. But one of the reasons I want her to be on the show is because she talks about topics that you don't discuss with a transgender person unless they bring them up. So there are lots of questions that a lot of us would like to ask a transgender person, but we know that there are just questions that it's not right to ask a transgender person unless they volunteer them. And for more information about that topic, go to GLAAD.org, GLAAD.org/transgender. They have fantastic resources for how to speak about and describe issues facing the transgender community. Hey, hello to Lillian. Thank you for joining as well. I also, Clifton Tatum, the former Mr. Palm Springs Leather, is going to come on the show and talk about what it's like to be a leather person. And there's a lot more happening. So
before we close, I just want to say I think it's a beautiful expression of your love to your brother by starting off the show in his memory and honoring him and your love for him. And I think it's in those moments of expression that encourages other people to express. And so I want to thank you for setting an example of that to me and to your viewers. And I think, you know, I appreciate how authentically you live your life in this community, and so publicly on the web and
promo.tv.
But so thank you for being an inspiration and just living your authenticity.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I would be remiss if I didn't point to this sign behind me. It is the original artwork for National Coming Out Day. It was designed by Keith Herring. It's just original art. There's actually two signatures on that poster. One of them is printed, and one of them is Keith Herring's poster. The reason I have that is I was fortunate to be on staff for the first ever National Coming Out Day. But National Coming Out Day was co-founded by a fantastic group of people involved by what was called at the time the Experience Weekend. It's now called the Experience. It was founded in partnership by Rob Eichberg and the late Rob Eichberg and the late David Goodstein, who owned The Advocate at the time. And the whole premise of the experience is for people to honor and express their truth and live authentically. And the slogan for National Coming Out Day is take your next step in honoring your authentic self. I think that's a good place to end.
I think so.
So what happens now for the end of the show is that I end the broadcast, I end the podcast, and then I'm going to wrap the video. So let's end the podcast now by playing this really fun little announcement. It's very short and sweet. I think I upload. Oh, here it is. Here we are. We're ending the audio podcast now, and you get to be a part of it.
For all of our upcoming programs, social media links, and a link to all of our advertisers, visit promohomo.tv. Until next time, I'm Nicholas Snow.